Well, we got an opportunity this morning. Our speaker is a guy that I've had a privilege to be around on a number of occasions. Got to spend some time with. And, man, I'm a real sucker for a country accent. I don't know where he came from, but it's a lot of fun just to hear him talk. So this morning, we not only get an opportunity to get an anointed word, we get an opportunity to hear a man that knows how to spit it just right. The sultry tones of Mr. Matthew Gabbert, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, God is good. All right, let's do this with me. When I say God is good, you all say all the time. God is good and all the time. All right, well, I like to start out just that way. And, you know, it's I had a pleasure. I got to go with that retreat with Jonathan, Pastor Lenny. Actually, it was last fall, but it was just an honor just to be with them and get to know them. And, you know, this morning, as I was sitting there, Jonathan came and told me, said, you know, you may not preach. You know, God's about ready to bust loose. And, you know, whenever I get a chance to preach, I want to thank the pastor. So, you know, I want to thank Pastor Lenny, even though he's not here. And all the other leadership team, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. But I also want to thank the Holy Spirit. He saw fit to let me speak as well. I thought he was going to bust loose and go out, but which is fine with me, you know. So, you know, it's a tough act to follow. So I'm just going to pray because I do have such a tough act. We're just going to flow right in with what God's doing. How about that? So, Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for what you've already done. I thank you for what you're doing right now in this moment and what you're about to do. Lord, you're an awesome God, and we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, when Pastor Lenny asked me to speak, and I actually met with him a couple weeks ago, we talked about it. He actually gave me a couple verses to pray over, and we talked about it, it's kind of amazing how God works. I felt several years ago that God told me, gave me a commission. And I can tell you where I was at, tell you what I was doing. I was walking back from break. I was working at a factory at the time. And I heard the Lord speak to me, teach my people peace. And I can tell you, there's three ways that I felt. I felt intrigued. It's like, what is this? You know, I felt excited. You know, God spoke to me. And then at another time, I was kind of, oh, really? I was kind of disappointed. I was like, because I was studying these great revivalists, George Whitfield and Charles Finney and some of those guys, and how they held great revivals and great conviction, and people were saved. And so I was like, peace, you know, okay, well. But I just kind of went with it. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to study peace, figure out what this is. And whenever I got the opportunities to preach, I would preach about peace many times. And I've had several testimonies throughout the years and of what you know, people have responded and told me, you know, how they were blessed by the message. One particular gentleman, he was in my home church, and he pulled me aside. It was actually a month or so later after I had preached there. He said, you know, ever since I heard you preach, you know, I've made it a point not to worry. And, you know, it may not seem like a lot, but at the time he was in his 70s and had just had a stroke and was paralyzed on his left side. And, you know what, he had several things in his life to worry about. And that impacted me that the Lord was working through this message. And so through Pastor Lenny praying the message that he gave me, there's two verses that we're going to look at. One we're going to look at mainly, but I'm going to read the first one. It's Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. The second one's Isaiah 41 and 10. So Romans chapter 8, it says, what then shall we say unto these things? If God is for us, who is against us? And then Isaiah 41 and 10, it says, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The main point I want to make to you today that will bring you peace is that God is with us and God is for us. Now, if I were to come to you and ask and say, do you believe God is with you and God is for you? I'm sure everyone will have a positive answer. Yes, yes, of course. But what if in prayer the Holy Spirit asked you, the one who searches your innermost thoughts and heart, said, do you always act and think as if God is with you and God is for you? I'll make a deal with you. I won't ask you what your answer is if you don't ask me. See, that's why we're going to focus on this subject together. And I think it's an amazing topic because the greatest theologians, the greatest ministers, most powerful ministers can benefit from this message. Yet probably children are the most likely to put it into practice. This is a message for all of us. And I want to look at Isaiah 41:10. And we got three points in this verse that we're going to look at. The first point is that God sees us. The second point, God sees what's happening within us. And the third point is, God sees what's happening around us. Now, in the first part of this verse, the first part of this chapter, Isaiah 41:10, is talking, God describes the craftsmanship of the people, the foreigners who build their idols. Talk about their woodwork, their metalwork, and how they craft these idols. And how their eyes make eyes of gold. Those eyes of gold don't see. But our God sees. He sees us. And that's what he wants them to know. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. You see, he sees that they're dismayed. He sees that they're anxiously looking about. He sees them shaking and worried. He sees them talking to their neighbor. What are we going to do? What's going to become of us? He sees that. And he says, do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Now, many of us, we don't always believe God sees us all the time. I used to work as a youth chaplain at a youth treatment center. It's for teenagers. They probably range from 12 to 17. And at this treatment center, it wasn't a Christian organization, but it was the owners were Christian, so they wanted a chaplain to be there. And so I got the opportunity to work at this place for a couple years and led Bible studies. And for the kids that desired that, did chapel services. Well, anyway, one Bible study in particular that we had really made an impact. And it was all by surprise to me. We were going through the book of Acts, and we got to the story of Cornelius. And where Peter visited Cornelius. Now, it wasn't the whole story that impacted the kids. It was the one main verse there in Acts chapter 10. In verse 4, it says, the angel of the Lord came to Cornelius and said, your gifts and your prayers have come up as a memorial before God. And they started asking questions. Oh, they started responding. So I started expounding upon that God not only sees the bad things you do, he sees the good things that you do. And so I went on to share about the story of the widow that gave two mites, that gave everything she had, and how Jesus was so impressed by her, he not only saw it, he brought his disciples over and said, come, look at this. Look at this. And so then I went on to share about the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was teaching. He said, how when you fast and when you pray and when you give, your Heavenly Father sees what you do and will reward you for it. There was one young man, and these kids were just really, really getting into this. And it didn't dawn on me why it was so impactful to start with, but later on, it came to me. These kids were troubled kids. They were in trouble most of their whole lives. Most of them were good at heart. They just had bad upbringings. But they were used to people recognizing them for the wrong things they did. And that translated into their understanding of God as well. They believed, well, God will see me when I do bad things, but, you know, he's not interested if I do something good. That's you know, that comes and goes. That's gone with the wind. But there was one particular point, and I got to share with, there was one kid, he'd gotten in trouble. And when kids got in trouble, they got separated from their group for a time out. So I was sitting with this young man. And so he sat and thought about the situation, cooled down. And then we proceeded to talk about what happened. And in that conversation, in his frustration, he mentioned to me, he said, I just don't think God hears me. Which I took a risk. I took an opportunity to illustrate something to him that I actually heard in a joke. So what I said to him is, I said, really, you don't think God hears you? He said, no, I don't. Well, you might as well just cuss him then. And he looked at me with wide eyes and said, I can't do that. I said, why not? Because God would hear me. Well, if God will hear you cuss, God will hear you pray. God sees us. Another young man, I'll tell one more testimony about that. We were having a Bible study, and I usually don't get headaches. I fend them off in Jesus' name. But I was having a bad headache this day, and we was having our Bible study. And I had four or five guys sitting around the table, and my wife worked there at the time as well, and she had come in, I don't know, to ask me a question or something. And I said, hey, honey, can you get me a glass of water and a Tylenol? And so she did, brought it back down. And in the midst of our message, we actually going through Matthew 10, where it talks about if you receive a prophet, you will have a prophet's reward. You receive a righteous man, you will have a righteous person's reward. If you give a cup of cold water to the least of these of mine, you will not lose your reward. So I just made the connection. You see, you know, my wife has a reward now because she brought me a cup of cold water and a Tylenol. Well, at the end of that Bible study, we met in the cafeteria. There was a place where kids could go get a glass of water anytime they wanted to. And so one of the young men, he asked me, he said, Mr. Matt, you finished with that water? I said, well, I got like one more drink in it. Why? He said, I'd like to go get you a glass. And I wasn't thirsty anymore, but I let him go get me a glass. And every Bible study after that, I let him go get me a glass of water, whether I was thirsty or not, because he had found a way to activate faith. And this is a testimony. My mother was a teacher. She taught science at this academy. And she didn't know about what all had happened, but she mentioned this one young man. She said, I've never seen anyone change as much as this young man. There was actually some people that came in to evaluate how the academy was working, and he was one of them that they kind of did a round table, a focus group of the kids to say, you know, what are you getting? What are you getting out of this? What helps you? What doesn't? And he told them, he said, Mr. Matt helped me. You know, I wasn't even really part of the treatment program. I was just there as a chaplain. I wasn't a counselor. I wasn't the part of the program. He said, Mr. Matt helped me. And he found a way to activate his faith. It gave him hope, and he found a way to activate faith because he believed God saw him. Even the smallest good thing, he believed God saw him and would reward him. God sees us. God sees us. But he not only sees us on the outside, he sees us on the inside. You know, it says, do not fear, for I am with you. Now, some people are really good at hiding their emotions. Some people are really good at hiding fear. I'm not one of those that's good at hiding emotions. You know, I get in a sappy movie, and, you know, I have tears coming down my face. I can't hold it back. That's just me. You know, I could never lie growing up. I tried, but I was no good at it because I'd always give myself away. But some people in this room, and I'm not going to point any fingers or elbows, you're really good at hiding how you feel. But not from God. You know, sometimes we can't even describe our emotions. We can't even describe what we're feeling. It's not meant to really be described. We express it through other ways, through body language, through tears, through smiles, through laughter. But God knows us so well on the inside, he can explain it to us without more than us. I'll give you an example in my life. At our church in Vineyard, where they're in Westerville, they had a healing prayer session on a Saturday morning. I had some things I was going through, so I said, I'm going to this healing prayer session. I'm going to go get prayed for, get this stuff straightened out, you know. And so I went there and for prayer, and I had these things in my mind, you know. And they started praying. This lady started saying, I'm getting the word self-worth. He says, is there anything about self-worth, you know, with you? And I was kind of shocked. I was like, oh, no, I think I feel pretty confident. I'm pretty confident in myself, I think. And, you know, and so she kept going, and she said, are you sure? I keep getting this word. And so she kept praying and praying, and by the time the prayer session was over, I gave it up. Her and the Holy Spirit was right. And it shined a light on me that I didn't realize was there. I didn't know it. And as this realization came, I got to see several areas of my life that it affected me. Why I acted certain ways in certain situations. Why I did this when I should have done that. You see, God knew me more than I knew myself. And He knows you more than you know yourself. He's very interested in what's going on inside of you. Now, many of you may have heard the expression, sometimes God heals a storm and sometimes He calms His child. I used to think that was a cop-out for when miracles didn't happen. I thought, oh, they're just saying that because they didn't have the faith to get God to move. But I found out also I was wrong on that. I was around 22 years old. I was a youth minister at a time. There was a church plant back in my hometown, and we met at the gymnasium at the local college there. And they had an altar call, and as a youth pastor, I went up to pray with anyone who responded. And to my great surprise, one of the ladies that her and her husband were instrumental in starting the church and also had big roles in the church came to me for prayer. Now, like I said, I thought I was a hot shot at that age. I was going to travel the world, do great massive revivals and so on and so forth. But when she came to me for prayer, I was humbled. Of all the people she could have picked to pray for her that morning, she picked me. And so my senses were elevated to pray my very best. And to be honest, I wanted to impress as well, but I wanted to pray I prayed my heart out. And I humbly, when she first came up, I said, "Help me, Holy Spirit." Well, good thing news is He did. She came up and prayed, and she shared with me how her father had passed away and had in the will had left her as the executor of the estate. And ever since then, her brother had been coming against her. Apparently, he thought he should have been the executor of the estate. And there was a lot of strife, a lot of tension in the family. And she said it had just about ruined their relationship. And she wanted prayer for that God would heal the relationship and bring peace to the family. So I said, "Come, Holy Spirit." I don't remember what else I prayed. But we prayed. She sat down. And then that was it. That was the end of the church service. But later that week, I ran into her. And she came to me, Matt, really excited. And I was like, hey. You said, "You're never going to guess what happened." I said, "You're probably right. I'm not going to guess. What is it? What happened?" She said, "My brother called yesterday." I was like, "Oh." She's like, "Yeah." She said, "I saw the caller ID. I saw his number. And this dread started to come on me. And I didn't want to answer the phone, but I knew I needed to. I knew I had to. I had to just go ahead and face it." So I answered the phone. She said, "As soon as I reached and picked up the phone, there was this feeling started at the top of my head. And it came all the way around me. I can't describe it. It's sort of like a force field. It covered my whole body." And she said, "When I picked up the phone and he started to talk, he lit into me like he always does with his mean, hateful words. But it didn't faze me." She said, "I was happy during the whole conversation. I was in total peace." She said, "It didn't ruin my day like it usually does. I was happy the whole rest of the day." She said, "God answered our prayer." So you see, God sometimes, He doesn't initially calm the storm. Sometimes He just calms His child. Sometimes that's the initial part of the miracle. Sometimes that is the miracle. But I didn't really know until later on what had really happened, how God had answered that prayer. And it's a very familiar verse, but there's a part in it that stuck out to me one day as I was thinking about this experience. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Many of you all probably know it as I start quoting it. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see that? Guard your hearts and your minds. In the Amplified Version, I like the Amplified Version. It says "Will the peace of God will garrison and mount guard over your heart and mind." Like a garrison of soldiers with swords and spears and shields and the whole regalia, shielded horses, everything, guarding your heart and your mind. Hallelujah. God sees inside of you. Now, the third point, I don't want to tarry too long. Let's get to the third point. God sees what's happening around you. Now, sometimes we doubt on this because we look at our current circumstances and we say, obviously, God doesn't know what's happening, else he would be a little more concerned. Else he would be a little more quick to act on my behalf. But you see, that's where we are seeing with worldly perspective, but he sees from heavenly perspective. Let's look at this verse in Isaiah 41:10. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you." He can say fear not because he sees himself with us, walking us through the valley of the shadow of death. He is with you. He sees that. We don't necessarily see that other than with the eyes of faith. He says, "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." You might see the things that are facing you and say, "I'm not strong enough. I'm not strong enough to face this on my own. I can't take this emotional pain, this emotional abuse. What's going on in my family? What's going on in my... I can't take this. I'm not strong enough." But from the heavenly perspective, he says, "I will strengthen you." There may be situations even worse than that where you feel completely helpless and hopeless to do anything. But the heavenly perspective is, "I will help you." And that vision there where he says, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand," that is one of the greatest images that God sees what's happening around you and is taking the precautions to keep you safe. Now, I love babies. A friend of mine just had a baby. I went to go see this baby, three days old. I held her in my arms. She put her hand around my finger and had a very tight grip for 3 days. I was impressed. I love their little fingers, little toes. I'm like, it's so small, yet so complete. How are all the blood vessels and everything small enough to fit in everywhere there? It's just amazing. But when my children were young, you know, we would go to the park or we would, you know, be playing in the yard, and they'd want to hold my hand. And so we'd run around, and their hands weren't large enough to hold my hand, so they would hold my fingers, maybe two fingers. They'd wrap their hands around my fingers. We'd walk around and do whatever. But there were also times where we would walk from our house to the park, and we would have to be on a sidewalk with a busy road. And at that point, I would take their fingers from off of their hand from off of my fingers and place their hand securely in my hand. And there was no way they were getting loose. You see what it says here? It said, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You may see dangers around you, but God sees him holding your hand. And you're not getting loose. You might try to, out of ignorance. You know, kids are small, but they don't know all the dangers of a truck going down the highway. We don't know all the dangers we face. God does. He sees us and is holding on to us. You see, Jesus made this same analogy in John chapter 10, 27 and 29. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Now, I had a situation like this. I was 23, 24, I don't remember my exact age, but I was in a situation that I didn't see a way out of. I wasn't strong enough to get out of it. I didn't have the ability to get out of it. You see, I'd made a mistake a couple years before then and bought a new car. My idea was I was going to save from expensive car repairs because the old clunkers I was driving around, I was having to get worked on all the time. So I thought, well, I'll buy a new car, and that'll save me for repairs. So I did, but I didn't realize that the car insurance, when you're under 25, is astronomical. So my situation was, I paid my car insurance every 6 months, and the bill was come due for $1,000. That's a lot, especially when you're making $10 an hour, your wife's staying home with the kids. This was probably 12, 14 years ago. Kids were staying home, so we had one income, two young children living paycheck to paycheck, and I had a $1,000 bill to pay. It might as well have been $10,000 for me at that point. Well, anyway, the Lord was teaching me about peace at this time. So we were riding home. I think we went to see a friend. We were riding home on a weekend, and I just prayed a simple prayer. I said, Lord, can you give me peace in this situation? Could you just give me a verse? Give me peace about this situation. So we drove on home, and I sat down at my computer desk and fired up the computer and fired up the internet. Most of you probably remember, but there may be some that don't remember. We had to wait for the internet to connect. Our computer would make these weird sounds, and we just had to sit there and just hang on till we're connected. So that's what I was doing, and there was a Bible on my desk. A friend had given this to me. It was an Amplified version. I wasn't familiar with the Amplified version that much at that point. But he'd given it to me and quoted, and he'd written a note in the front and referenced a couple of scriptures. I don't remember what the first one was, but the second one was Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And it reads like this in a typical version. It says, don't be greedy for gain. Be content with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's good. That's what our sermon is about today. God is with us. God is for us. But God knew I needed a little more oomph there. So that's why he had me reading the Amplified version. And this is what it says in the Amplified version. It says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and cravings for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will in no way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So I sat there and, oh, I don't think I even got on the internet at that point. I wasn't accustomed to God answering my prayers in 45 minutes. But that was my verse. Now, to finish up the story, to make a long story short, weekend came and my grandmother had bought some furniture. So she asked my dad and I to go help her out. So we went up on Saturday and to Louisville, Kentucky, and picked up some furniture she'd bought from some relatives. So anyway, that next Sunday afternoon after church, I was sitting in my mom's living room, mom and dad's living room in the recliner, and my granny came in, and she handed me a check. And I thought she was just giving me something to help her out, for helping her out. And I said, oh, no, you don't have to give me anything. I'm just glad to help you out, you know. And we had a good day. She said, no, I want you to have this. I want you to keep this. So she convinced me. I finally took it. Like any good grandson would do, I thanked her for it, put it in my pocket, and waited for her to leave the room. And when she left the room, I did this number. I know you've done it. And to my surprise, it was a check for $1,000. Out of the goodness of her heart, just out of nowhere, because I hadn't told anyone I needed the money. I hadn't told a soul except God. And my wife knew, but that's the only other people that knew I needed the money, and the insurance company knew. But I took that $1,000 that Monday, took it straight to the bank. I worked second shift, so I had the day off. So I took it as soon as the bank opened, put it in the bank account. The bank assured me that the check would clear before the check to the insurance company got to them in the mail. And later that week, when I looked in my bank account, I had $10.23, but all my bills were paid. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Let me read this verse again. This is going to bless you. This verse is just, every time I read it, I get teared up. He says, "For God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." He's got his hold on you. He's got his hold on you. You might feel like you're falling, but God sees you. You're not. You're good. You're good. And so I want to go back and read this verse because it ties right into what we're saying in Romans 8:31. "What then shall we say unto these things?" These things we've just talked about. "If God is for us, who is against us? What more shall we say against these things?" According to all these things, if God is for us, who is against us? We just got to believe it. It's there. We just got to believe it. And then we will act accordingly and think accordingly that His holy presence is here with us. We won't look at the worldly perspective. We'll see the heavenly perspective. You see, we have all this. It's all ours. God's abiding presence is with us. It don't matter if we feel the anointing or not. It's there. I wasn't feeling anything that time when he paid my car insurance. There wasn't any anointing that came or wasn't any gushy feelings. It was just God. He was there. And I want to lead us. I know we're running short on time, but I just want to lead us in one exercise. It's going to be the altar call for all of us. If we had somebody who could play, are you coming to play? Okay, awesome. So this is what's going to help us to just realize day by day, hour by hour, God is with us, that He's greater, that we don't have to worry. We can live at peace at all times. Even as Ty said, you know, if you got a engine broke down and a transmission broke down, you can live at peace because God's got you. He's got you in His hand. And this is it. You know, I think about David and that he was someone who lived and acted as if God was with him at all the time. I think about that time when he charged Goliath. You know, we see giants in our lives. And that's the one part of that story when David fought Goliath is that he ran at him. I was like, oh, man. You know, we kind of set back. Yeah, God, we speak to that mountain, but we come back up from that mountain. How many of you all ever charged to the mailbox to that bill and say, "I'm going to pay you off and feed your carcass to the paper shredder"? Some of us open it up and say, "I'll deal with you tomorrow." But God is with us. And we got to see what it is. God sees us, but He wants us to see Him. To see Him high and lifted up. See, Isaiah, he said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." And this is Isaiah. He's a major prophet. We call him major just because he wrote more. It doesn't mean he was greater than the other prophets. He was long-winded and wrote a lot. But he was a major prophet. He spoke to the king the words of God and said he was undone when he saw the greatness of God. Now, God wants us to see His greatness, but He is so kind and so gracious, He does it in steps. I think that's why He describes Himself in the Trinity. You see, when He just came as the Father, you remember He came on the mountain of God and with Moses and the Israelites, and He said, "Come up to Me." And they said, "Oh, no, oh, no, we're good, we're good." They were afraid, just as Isaiah was afraid. But He lets us go in steps. You see, He gives us the Holy Spirit here. And if you want, you can close your eyes or just imagine with me. We're going to take a step just slowly. We're just going to go into the presence of God. And I want you to think of that thing that takes your peace. That thing that you think, "God must not be seeing what's going on here." That big prayer that's been nagging at you for years. And pretend you write it on a piece of paper. You write it on a piece of paper, and this is where you're going. This is where you're going to end up, at the throne of God. But we're going to start out with the Holy Spirit here. We're praying in the Spirit. We're praying. And He's taking us up in the air. And you ask, "Where are we going? Where are we going, Spirit?" I said, "Oh, we're going to see Jesus." "Oh, well, I got to get right. Can we take the long way? I got some things I got to confess. So Holy Spirit gets you all cleaned up. He said, it's all right. Because the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. He's pointing to Jesus. He said, he bled and died for your sins. You're clean. You're forgiven. He's cleansed you from all unrighteousness. So you're going up. You're up. You're with the Spirit. And you get to heaven. And he hands you off at the gate. There's Jesus. He hands you off, and Jesus is there, and you're opening the gate, and you see this vast hillside, beautiful, beautiful country. And you see this mighty river, and the mighty river goes up to this huge, this amazingly huge temple. Amazingly, and it's massive, and there's these trees growing beside this river. And you're asking Jesus, what is all this? What's those trees? He said, that's the tree of life. He said, just one leaf will heal the nations. Just a leaf off those trees heals the nations. Heals all the murder, the pain, the sorrow, the poverty, the sickness, the raging plagues. Just a leaf. He said, what's that river? You know, that's the river of life that flows from the throne of God. He said, is that where we're going? Yeah, that's where we're going. Oh, my. He said, well, you better tell me about the Father as we go. He said, what in the world does it mean, I am that I am? It just means that. He is everything. He is everything. So you can ask all these questions of Jesus about the Father. And you get into the temple. I mean, these massive doors. You walk in, and there's angels that are uncountable. You said, Jesus, what is this? He said, these are the angels that stand before the face of God that are assigned to each child on the earth. Now, how many children are there on the earth? A couple billion? Maybe 3-4 billion? So this temple's large enough to hold 3 or 4 billion angels. And these angels, they're not small creatures. They're like 9 or 10 feet tall with huge wings. And they're singing the glories of God, the praises of God. I mean, this heavenly music, this heavenly chorus. And there you are in the midst of it. And you're walking arm in arm with Jesus. And you have your prayer request in one hand, and your other arm is on Jesus. And he's taking you down. And all of a sudden, you look to the front of this temple. And there it is, the throne of God. And it's smoke. It's not a dark smoke. It's a white smoke. And the Bible tells us that God is light. And this light is shining through the smoke. The smoke must be like a cloud, must be like steam, because the river of life flows from the throne of God. So as it is pouring out, the steam is flying up like a waterfall, and the light of God is shining through it. And he's clothed in rainbows. And these creatures are flying in and out. In and out, and they're crying, holy. The angels that are singing are such a marvelous sound, but over top of them, you can hear these winged creatures crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful that the pillars of the temple, these great pillars that go all the way down the aisle where you're walking, that hold the temple of God, are shaking. Because the sound of these creatures is so great. And you're feeling a little bit like Isaiah. Even though the Holy Spirit's got you cleansed up with the blood of Jesus, and Jesus already told you all these things about the Father, you're still feeling a little unsure of yourself. But Jesus got you by the arm, and he's taking you on in. He's taking you on in there. And you get to the steps that look up to the throne of God. And you go up. And there's the mercy seat right before the throne, the altar. And God the Father is clothed in this cloud, is clothed with rainbows. And all of a sudden you see a hand stick out of the mist, and everything stops. The angels stop singing. The creatures go to their perches that are on the sides and are trembling. And this is where you give your request to the Father. You lay it on the mercy seat. That's why I said you bring a big prayer. You don't go up there and just say, well, my shoulder hurts a little bit. Can you do anything about it? Take your big prayer, because God is big. God is a big God. And when you see God in this way, when you see him like this, all things are possible. Because he's not just seated in the throne. He's seated in your heart. He is with you, and he is for you. And the Bible tells us that when we ask anything according to His will, we have this confidence that He hears us. And that if He hears us, we have whatever we ask for. Now, I know we went through this rather quickly, into the throne, into the presence of God. I believe God wants us to continually make this journey to His throne in our own prayer time, in our own time with Him, to present our request to Him, to see Him for how great He is, and to sense how great the love is He has for you. See, because He's looking at you, and He's so proud. He has so much confidence in you. You see, He's walking through us in the valley of the shadow of death. We're in this world. He can't keep us up there in heaven. We've got to be effective here in this world. The valley of the shadow of death, He's walking with us. The Bible tells us we're hidden in the shadow of His wing. So you know there's two shadows we're walking through. The valley of, we're walking in the shadow of death and the shadow of life. But we're out in the open. God doesn't put His wing all the way around us. We're in the open. And death sees you, but He also sees life standing behind you. And when death looks at you and tries to put its fangs in you, the author of life, I'm sure, just takes his sword out, shimmers it a little bit. It's right in his eye. And there you are. And life says, hey, you know, we're in this valley. Hey, you want to go get those people? Hey, you want to go do that? Yeah, let's go do that. And right out in the open, where death and all of the demons of hell watching you, go and fulfill the plan of God. Right out in the open. And they can't do anything because of who is right there with you. He is with you. He sees you. He is here. So this morning, we've taken our prayer request to God. But I do want to open it up for anyone who has a special prayer request. For those who would like to pray for others, or you'd like to receive prayer, you come up now. We'll have an altar call, and I'd be glad to pray with you. I'm sure Jonathan would be glad to pray with you. Some of the others, you can come on up. But let's just stay in the presence of God. And just realize the fact that God is with us. God is for us. And let's go out and run after it. Like David. Because David, he went there a lot. You know, he was in the fields playing, we envision on his harp. And one of his prayers, Psalms 27, he says, one thing I desire, one thing I seek, to go to the temple of the Lord and to gaze upon His beauty. I'm convinced that's why David ran. Because he knew how big his God was. He had seen it. He had seen it in the Spirit. He'd seen it in worship. So if you have special prayer requests, we're here. If not, may the Lord bless you, keep you. May His light shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.